reading the screen using the mouse pointer. With WindowEyes, not only can you read relative to your cursor, but you can review the entire screen. Since you have little control over the application cursor, you are limited to what you can review. In your document of your word processor, this works great. But if you want to review sections of your word processor, like the status line or toolbars, your cursor can't go there. So WindowEyes allows you to review the screen with the mouse pointer. The mouse pointer is free to move about the entire screen. But to make things easier, WindowEyes allows you to set a boundary so as not to get lost outside of that boundary. To show how you use the mouse to review the screen, I'm going to start up WordPad again. Actually, we're already in WordPad from the previous session, and I have WordPad running with section 1 of the WindowEyes manual. So follow along to get a feel for the very powerful reviewing approach with the mouse. So again, I'm sitting inside WordPad, and we already know how to read the current character, word, line, sentence, paragraph relative to the cursor, but let's show relative to the mouse. I'm going to do Control Home because I'm not sure where I left off from the previous session in this document. So Control Home.
Beginning of document. One introducing WindowEyes.
Takes me to the first line of the document. Let me go ahead and route the mouse pointer to the cursor position. So I'm going to do Control Numpad, or rather Insert Numpad. So inserts down like a modifier. While it's down, tapping plus on the numeric keypad.
Pointer route to cursor.
So now we've actually moved the mouse to the current cursor position. And remember we talked about the mouse pointer can read relative to certain boundaries. And those boundaries are the focus window, the application window, the full screen, or read relative to a user window. And we're not going to talk about the user window option. But let me show you what the key press is for this first. If I hold Control Shift down, while holding those down, hit B. That's the mouse boundary hotkey, and it rotors between the options. Let me press it now.
Focus window.
Focus window. I still have my Control Shift down just so I can keep tapping B again.
User window.
User window.
Full screen.
Full screen.
Active window.
Active window.
Focus window.
Focus window. Just goes around. I'm going to go back to, I'll leave it set to
user window, full screen, active window.
Active window. So the active window, let me back up a little bit and talk about what we mean by focused window and active window. Remember when a window comes up, we talked about when the WindowEyes control panel came up. That's the active window. When the dialogue comes up, some of the dialogues that we've dealt with, maybe the Braille hotkey dialogue that came up within WindowEyes, that dialogue was the active window. It's the foreground window. It's the piece of paper on top of my desk that draws the visual attention to whoever's sitting there using it. Same with on the computer. It's the window on the top that has the keyboard attention, has the sighted user's attention. Now, within the active window, you can actually have an element that has focus. By focus, I mean it actually has the keyboard attention. So if I'm within my dialog, which has activation, I could be tabbing between all the controls, and whatever control is currently focused has the keyboard attention. So if I'm tabbing between a button, the button would have focus, the dialog would have activation. Inside WordPad here, WordPad is the active window, but because I'm in the document area, that edit box that I'm in, it's called a rich edit actually, is the focused control within WordPad. So if I set my mouse boundary to focused, where do you think that would bound that mouse? It would bound it, in my case here in WordPad, into the document area because that's what currently has focus. If I set it to application window, it would bound it to WordPad. It wouldn't allow me to get out of the WordPad window. And if I set it to full screen, then I can use the mouse to search the entire screen. Again, user windows we're not going to talk about here. So I've kept it to application window, which will allow me to go outside of my document area and be able to read the title bar of WordPad or the menu bar or the status line and things like that. But it won't let me go out and see the start menu or the taskbar and things like that. That would require setting my boundary to full screen. So in my case, I've set it to the active window and I've synced the mouse already to the cursor position. Remember reading relative to the cursor, we kind of use the control key to think of it as reading relative to cursor. Well, with the mouse pointer, if you want to be able to move the mouse pointer around and read information, you can just use the numeric keypad without the control key, but think of the arrow keys sort of the same way, but it's a little bit difficult because we have a lot of keystrokes to do here. But if you just use the left and right arrow keys, it will move the cursor left and right by character. So if I hit the right arrow key on the numeric keypad with numlock off, I hear
colon space
each to press
I
again
n
again
t r o d u.
So I'm just going letter by letter relative. The mouse pointer is actually moving to the next character. Now if I do control numpad left arrow to read the current character under the cursor, what do you expect to hear? In my case, I get
1.
Because it's still sitting at the beginning, which the line is 1, introducing window eyes. So the cursor has not moved, but when I hit the numpad right arrow, I'm moving the mouse pointer right by character.
C.
Again.
I. N.
Again. Again.
G.
Again.
Space.
Again.
W.
And W tells me it's an uppercase W there. So I'm just moving left and right. Again, left arrow moves the mouse pointer left.
Space. G. N. I.
Going backwards through the word in that case. Very simple there. Word is very similar, only now you hold the insert key down like a modifier. So if I want to move the mouse by word, I would hold the insert key down, and while it's down, and I can use my right hand, my right thumb, to hold down the insert key, and then I can use my fingers to actually hit left and right. So I can still do this one-handed. I'm going to do insert right arrow.
Window eyes.
Again.
This.
Again.
Section.
Again.
Of.
If I do insert left, I go backwards.
Section.
Again.
This.
So left and right moves my character. Insert left and right moves by word. If I want to go by line, you'd expect to use the up and down arrow keys, and that's exactly what you do. If I hit down arrow key,
folks of the window eyes packaging,
down again,
our technical support department
down again,
has worked the best with window eyes.
If I up arrow,
our technical support department as well as how to set up windows too.
Okay, so I'm sitting on that line with the mouse. Again, if I read the line under the cursor with Control Numpad 5, I hear
1 introducing window eyes.
It hasn't moved. It's still up there at the top. I'm moving the mouse pointer around reading this document. If I want to move by sentence, I can just use insert the three keys on the numeric keypad, end, down, and page down, which are the bottom three keys on the numeric keypad, 1, 2, and 3, or end, down arrow, and page down. I can just do the insert of those keys, and I'll read the previous sentence, current sentence, or next sentence, and the mouse pointer will actually move. So let's try this. Insert page down.
Section 1.1, welcome to window eyes. Section 1.2, system requirements. Section 1.3.
I'm going to silence that with control. Now, it's reading all of those because there is no terminating punctuation, so it thinks all of those lines are one big sentence. It requires a sentence to be ending punctuation with two spaces as I do that. If I want to go to prior, current, or next paragraph, I would do the same keystrokes that I used for the sentence, only now I would hold the control down. So if I did a control insert page down, for instance, it'd go to the next paragraph.
1.1, welcome to window eyes.
Again?
Congratulations on your purchase of Window Eyes, a screen reading program with...
And I'll silence that. But that actually moves me by paragraph and allows me to review that way. One of the nice things that's unique to Window Eyes is we have the ability of moving by what we call clip. Let me explain what a clip is, because it is very important and it is unique to Window Eyes. When you're reviewing with the mouse pointer or the cursor, it's nice to be able to go by character, word, line, sentence, and paragraph. But with Windows, things become a little bit more complicated than that, because you can have a line of text, and maybe within that line you've got multiple font changes or font style changes, font size changes, or you've got graphics embedded in there. It's nice to know that these things are happening in there and not just blindly read this information and not give you any formatting type of information as you're reading. So we came up with a term within GW Micro called a clip, and a clip is... The easiest way to explain this is every graphic element is a clip. So whenever you see a graphic on the screen, whether it be an icon or a picture of something, that is a clip. So if I'm moving by clip and all there are graphic images on the screen, each graphic image would be a clip. And if I were moving, I would go from one to the next to the next. So graphic is pretty easy to explain as a clip. Text is a little bit more complicated. Text is considered a clip if it's text of the same attributes, meaning it's got the same font, it's got the same font size and the style, meaning it's either all bold or all not bold or whatever, the same size, and it's continuous text. If you have the word this and then way over on the right you put there, but there's no spaces in between those words, those are two clips because they're not continuous text. Now, if I have a line in my word processor and let's say the middle word is bolded, then I would have three clips on that line. I have the left, which all has the same attributes and continuous text. Then I have the bolded word, which is continuous, same attributes, everything of the text. And then I'd have everything to the right of the bolded word as a clip. So when you're moving down by clip, then you could tell, hey, wait a minute, this just broke because of something. Either it's because of a line break or because there's an attribute break or however you want to deal with that. So let's try doing that. The top three keys on the numeric keypad, 7, 8, and 9, are for moving by clip. And you use the insert key to do that. So I'm going to do insert, holding it down with my right thumb, and tap the 9 to go right by clip. Here we go.
Program which allows access to Microsoft Windows and compatible.
Again.
Applications through synthesized speech output and refreshable Braille.
Now, the reason what it's doing now is just going by line. And you might say, well, that's kind of boring. But if there were attribute changes within this, then it would actually break that up. So let me go in this line. I'm going to actually route the cursor to my mouse pointer. Remember, cursor is still up on the first line up there. But let's say I found something interesting with my mouse pointer. I don't want to have to grope my way back down and get my cursor there. I can just hit the numpad plus by itself. Remember when we did an insert plus, it took the mouse pointer and took it to the position of the cursor? Well, if I leave off the insert and just hit plus, it does the reverse of that. It will take my cursor and put it to my mouse position. So let me hit numpad plus.
Cursor rooted.
So it took my cursor. Now my cursor and my mouse pointer are back in sync to my mouse line that was on. Let me just move my mouse pointer over some.
Through.
Doing control right arrow to move by word. That's just a WordPad thing. Let me select this word. I'm going to do control shift right arrow to select synthesized.
Synthesized.
And I'm going to bold it. Control B will bold that word. And now let me get rid of that highlight. Let me move back by clip. So my mouse pointer is still at the beginning of that line. I'm going to do insert 7 to go back by clip.
Program which allows access to Microsoft Windows and compatible.
We didn't touch that line. Let me go right now. And before it read the entire line, now let's see what we get.
Applications through.
It stopped. It said applications through. If I hit right again, insert 9 or insert page up, I get
synthesized.
That's the bolded word. And again,
speech output and refreshable braille.
So those are the three clips on that line. Now, if I were moving down by line, it would have just read that line and I wouldn't have known that there was a break there. And again, if there's a graphic in there, I will get that graphic as well. So moving by clip is actually a very cool way to be able to navigate around. Let me actually move my mouse pointer up to the cursor up to the top with control home.
Beginning of document.
And I'm going to do insert plus to move my mouse pointer there.
Pointer rooted to cursor.
And now let me go back by clip here from the first line of the document. Now my cursor can't go any further up because it's at the top already, but my mouse pointer can because I set the boundary to application. Let me do an insert 7 or home now.
Graphic.
There's a graphic that we went to, which is a scroll up arrow.
Graphic.
There's
date
some
time.
Toolbar options.
Graphic. Undo.
Now we're reading the tooltip options as we move.
Graphic. Find.
Again.
Graphic. Print preview.
These are tooltips that are popping up as I move to the graphic because typically when a sighted user takes the mouse and they hover over one of these icons, that tooltip will pop up. There's a visual indication of what they are, and we could label this graphic if we chose to, if that was important enough. But there's also this tooltip that pops up. So let me keep going.
Graphic. Print.
Again.
Graphic. Save.
Again.
Graphic. Open.
Again.
Graphic. New.
Again.
Graphic. Paste.
Again.
Graphic. Copy.
Again.
Graphic. Cut.
A lot of little icons there again.
Help page pull down.
There's the help menu. We just found the help text up there in the help menu. Again.
Format O pull down.
Again.
Insert I pull down.
Again.
View V pull down.
Again.
Edit V pull down.
Again.
File F pull down.
Again.
Graphic.
There's the close button of this particular window. Again.
Graphic.
That's the restore.
Graphic.
Minimize.
Section 1 introducing Windowize WordPad.
That's the title bar.
Graphic.
And that's the icon of the WordPad. Hit again. And we can't go anywhere now. We're at the top left of this application window. We're not allowed to go any further. So we're getting a ding. So that's, I think that moving by clip is actually very, very important to be able to deal with that. We also give you the ability of using the mouse sort of like an Etch-a-Sketch, where you can move it straight across, left, right, up, or down in exactly those patterns. Only an Etch-a-Sketch, I guess you can kind of make a curve if you want to do that. But here we just can move it up and down, straight up and down, or straight left and right. And you do that by holding down the Control and the Shift and just hitting the four arrow keys on the numeric keypad. So Control Shift down moves me down so many pixels. And I keep going down. Let me hit it again. 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 Let me hit right.
File F pull down.
And I happen to land on file. Again, I'm just moving the mouse pointer and I can see it coming down a certain number of pixels. And you can actually define how many pixels. It could be one if you wanted, or you can make it jump more. I think we default to 5 or 8 pixels as you're moving around on the screen. Because your resolution is so high, if you move by one, it takes a lot of key presses to actually move it around. But if it's important to be able to move the mouse pointer in a specific position, maybe you want to get there by clip and then you want to move over a few pixels, you can actually do that as well. We talked about routing the mouse pointer to the, the cursor to the mouse pointer. And also you can actually click some things as well. Once the mouse pointer is where you want it to be, you can use the numeric keypad. The slash key does a left click. So I'm sitting on file right now, right? So if I hit slash, that does a left click. Let me do that.
Left.
It actually opened up the file menu and I can now down arrow.
New. And control M dialog.
And down arrow again.
Open. O control O dialog.
So that's another way to open it up. Maybe you've got a menu that's not keyboard accessible. You have to get the mouse on it. Well, you can find it that way. Do a left click and you're all set and going. Now, star will actually do a right click. So if you needed to do something that required a right click, you could get the mouse where you want it and press a star. I'm going to need escape to get out of this menu.
Menu closed. File F pull down.
Now, some other things that you can do with the mouse pointer is, and we've seen how you can search around and find what you want, but sometimes it's nice just to get the mouse right where you want it to be quickly. And we have a mouse find ability. So if you do Control Shift F, that's a windowized command. Let me do Control Shift F.
Menu closed. Find N. Combo. Edit box. Dialog. Find.
It brings up our find dialog, and it's going to allow you to find information quickly and move the mouse pointer to it. So let's say I want to find congratulations. That's one of the text lines within here. So I'm going to type in CONGRATULATIONS. Now, by default, this dialog itself has other radio button options and some other options that we can deal with that actually override the mouse boundary. So let me tab once.
Match case. M. Checkbox. Unchecked.
If we wanted the search to be case sensitive, we would check this checkbox, and it would only find congratulations in my case if it was all lowercase, because that's what I typed. I don't care about case, so I'm going to hit leave it unchecked and tab.
Search. Full screen. L. Radio button. Unchecked. 1 of 4.
Now here it brings us to the search radio buttons, and there are 4 radio buttons. There's full screen, active window, focused window, and user window. Now usually when you're doing a search, you want it to be active window. So we actually default the mouse search to always be active window, overriding whatever your mouse boundary is set at. We just felt that that was more accurate in what you were trying to search for. If that's not the case, you can simply come down here and change it to one of the other settings that you want. If you wanted it to be focused window, you could set the radio button to be that. And also, I'm not going to I'll keep tabbing here.
Search. Active window.
Tab
search.
Again.
Focus window.
Tab again.
Search. User window.
Tab again.
Attributes. Bold. B. Checkbox. Unchecked.
So here we have the bold checkbox. So if we wanted our only to find congratulations if the text were bolded, we could check this. Or there's an italic and an underline and a strikeout and a highlight. So we could set if it has to be all of these conditions for us to find it. But again, I'm just going to tab quickly past all of those.
Forward find. F. Button.
And there's a forward find. If I hit enter here, it will actually do a forward find. If I hit tab again,
reverse find.
It does a reverse find. But the default is forward find, so I'm going to shift tab back up there
forward find.
And hit
F
enter, and let's see what happens.
Found. Congratulations on your purchase of Window Eyes, a screen reading. Rich text window. One intro. Do. Sing. Window Eyes. The section of the window.
I'm going to go ahead and silence that, but it put the mouse pointer right on the line that had congratulations, and the mouse pointer sitting right at the C. And again, I could verify that by just moving left and right. Well, right.
Oh, C.
That's right and left, and C, O. I can read the current word. I can go by word or whatever within the mouse pointer and be able to verify that that's what I want. Now, the mouse search is limited to what's currently visible on the screen. So if you're searching for something that's not on the screen, it will not find it. The mouse find, Control Shift F, is only valid for what's on the screen. Now, we also have a continue search. If you want to look for the next occurrence of congratulations, which I doubt is actually there, I can press Insert F. So holding down Insert key while NumLock is off, press F.
Not found.
In my case, it wasn't found, so it said not found. Otherwise, it would have found the next occurrence and gone in the direction that I last went in. So if I was doing a reverse find, Insert F would have gone backwards to actually find what's going on. So you'll find, especially for applications that don't give you good keyboard accessibility, that the extensive mouse manipulation that we allow you to move the mouse pointer around from the keyboard is excellent. Again, set the mouse boundary the way that you want it to be, and once you've got the boundary the way you want it, you can move by character, word, line, sentence, paragraph, clip. You can find text quickly and be able to get around to that. Hopefully this gives you a good understanding, some basic navigation of the mouse. Let's go on to the next section.